think anybody can tell you when life begins. Human life begins.
We need a president who doesn't think that the protection of the unborn or a newly born baby is above his pay grade.
It is a cultural war as critical to the kind of nation we shall be as the Cold War itself. But this war is for the soul of America.
The pools of blood shed by modern atheism dwarf anything that religion can produce. And in fact, all the religions in the world put together haven't killed as many as atheist regimes have killed in about 10 years.
We often hear the argument that way back in the church's history, they were arguing, debating when life began. They did, in the Middle Ages, debate when the soul entered the body. I don't know why they debate such things. It doesn't seem to make much sense to me, but it really did matter to the Christians in the Middle Ages, and there was a debate. But does that amount to what many pro-choicers among us say it amounts to? Nancy Pelosi, now the Democratic vice presidential candidate, Joe Biden. They say, well, the church never really made up its mind, so we are free to be in favor of abortion because the church hasn't answered that question definitively either. Is that true? We're going to be talking here for the first few minutes of the program today with Dennis DeMauro, the abortion issue in the Middle Ages and in the church in the Middle Ages. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We are coming to you live this Tuesday, September the 9th. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or you can email us, talkback@issuesetc.org. After a 15-minute conversation with Dennis DeMauro, author of the book A Love for Life, Christianity's Support for the Unborn, we'll listen to some of your comments from the Issues Etc. listener comment line. Then Frank Beckwith joins us in the second hour of the program. We're going to talk about some recent statements made by pro-choice Catholics like Senator Joseph Biden and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. And then Pastor Matt Harrison joins us. The hurricanes that have been sweeping the southern and eastern coasts of the United States have been causing havoc. Matt Harrison will give us an update on that from LCMS World Relief. And then Wesley Smith will be our guest. We've got two issues to discuss with Wesley. Governor Palin's decision not to abort her Down syndrome child, Trig. And there's some new research that transforms cells from one kind of cell into another kind of cell inside a living body. What will this mean for embryonic stem cell research? Wesley will answer those questions a little later in the program. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback@issuesetc.org. Dennis DeMauro is a regular guest. He's Secretary of the National Pro-Life Religious Council and President of Northern Virginia Lutherans for Life, author of the book, A Love for Life, Christianity's Support for the Unborn. Dennis, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
There was a debate in the Middle Ages about the soul and the body and when the two finally got together. But does that amount to an argument in favor of abortion, as many religious pro-choicers seem to say?
Well, I think a lot of the discussion, as we talked about before, regarding ensoulment, regarding when a child becomes formed, a lot of those arguments had to do with punishments when a child was killed by abortion or some other means during that time. So your question you had was, why do people debate such things? And the reason they debated these things is because they wanted to know how to punish an offender if that person killed a souled human being. And what happened is that the people that were, or if a child was killed after it was assumed to be ensouled or formed, it would be what would be considered homicide under the law. And before that, it would be considered another offense, but not homicide. So the issue really was, is how can we determine when a child is ensouled or when a child is formed in order to determine whether or not to execute an offender? And so that was the big debate. Now, there were some that were taking kind of the position that had been taken by Aquinas and by Augustine, and that a child was formed or ensouled around 40 days. And others like Tertullian took the position very strongly that a child was ensouled from the moment of conception.
So at no point, though, in the debate, be it the early church or on into the Middle Ages, was anyone saying, well, abort a child before ensoulment and there's no crime, no foul?
Well, that's what is so funny about these arguments that they're making. They're making it, yeah, exactly. That they're trying to make it sound as if there was no punishment or no one saw anything wrong with having an abortion before this moment of ensoulment. There are a couple of great flaws with that. First of all, that's not the case at all, and abortion at any time was seen as a crime. You might not have been executed for it at a certain time in gestation, but you certainly were punished by fines or other means. And I think this, the other thing that I think is funny about it is that they try to make this argument, but then you say, well, what about partial birth abortion, which of course would be long after anyone in the Middle Ages considered a child ensouled or formed, and they'll say, oh no, that's that needs to be protected as well. So it seems like they're just grasping for straws.
During this 1,000-year period of time that we generally call the Middle Ages, what did the debate over abortion look like other than how do we punish it or what kind of penance do we exact for the crime?
Well, there wasn't any debate. It was simply a debate over that. How do we punish someone in the civil courts for inducing an abortion? Or if we have a sinner who has come to confess his or her sins, what is the suggested penance that a priest would apply? Of course, this was before the Reformation. So, at that time, it was really those two things. And these issues varied quite a bit. But I think it's also important to see how it has kind of even moved in one direction. That is, the church has become more stringent over time. Now we see it go back the other way. But during the Middle Ages, the offenses grew and grew and grew. And finally, you can see that an abortion, which originally would have been classified as a separate penance, is moved under the listing of homicide offenses. So as you go forward, and in fact, in 1398, they immediately started excommunicating people for inducing abortion. So in a lot of ways, in the Middle Ages, it became more, it seemed to be more and more of a serious crime.
Do we know how common, and we're talking here probably mostly about Western Europe and the East, do we know how common the practice of abortion may have been in this time?
Well, I have not seen any data on that. Clearly, people were becoming more and more aware of the ability to contracept during these Middle Ages, but I don't think there's any real good data on, that's just because they saw the birth rate decline in certain time periods. But it's hard to guess how many abortions were occurring back then, certainly fewer than today.
But the church's reaction seems to be uniform against it, isn't it, regardless of how frequent it was?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, it became, I think the abortion debate over time has kind of been one that's been peaks and valleys. That is, as the certain times, abortion is just really not that prevalent. People are really maintaining the law regards to God's law regards to abortion. But as we see that it breaks out in certain places in Rome and in certain time in the late 1500s, that these laws come out that are very, very strict, which are trying to prevent it. So what happens is that as it emerges as a problem in an area and in a time frame, you see these penance guidelines become stricter.
It sounds then, you've said this several times, but it sounds then that the church, rather than in any sense accommodating itself to the practice of abortion in society, actually stiffened its penalties, began to view it as an even more serious crime than it had before. And that's saying something.
Yes, I mean, it really is saying something. To imagine anything in the history of the church before the 1960s regarding abortion like we see today, where it's virtually allowed in all three trimesters, is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, Nancy Pelosi and others are trying to make the case that there was a debate and it was so loud sometimes and these kinds of things. That is absolutely untrue, and it was obviously much less prevalent. But when it did become prevalent in certain places, the penalties were quick and strict.
If we were able to pick up a theologian or a Christian thinker of the Middle Ages out of his time and place him in our time, where he could watch people who say, I'm a devout Roman Catholic, and yes, I believe that life begins at conception, but I think that abortion ought to be legally permitted. What would such a person from the Middle Ages think?
Well, You know, I think it's funny that Nancy Pelosi is quoting Augustine, and to imagine Augustine with his beliefs on sin and the sinfulness of the human being, to think that he in some way advocated abortion as we see it today is just absolutely ridiculous. And for her to even use Augustine as an example is really, really irresponsible of her.
What are we going to be talking about next time, Dennis?
Well, next time we're going to be going into the issue of the prominent theologians since the Reformation. This time period is really a lot of fun because what it looks at is it looks at the Protestant reformers, people like Martin Luther, people like John Calvin and Wesley, and it also goes all the way through the 19th century when we see a real rise in the problem of abortion, and at that time it was thankfully averted and brought to public opinion, and there were a number of laws that that struck abortion, made even more stricter restrictions against abortion in the United States. So it'll refute a lot of Protestants that will say that it's, you know, to be pro-choice is to be Protestant. There's nothing further from the truth.
Dennis DeMauro is Secretary of the National Pro-Life Religious Council, President of Northern Virginia Lutherans for Life, author of the book A Love for Life, Christianity's Support for the Unborn. Find out more about this book on the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. When we come back from this break, we'll listen to some of your comments from the Issues Etc. listener comment line, and then Frank Beckwith will join us to start out hour two. We'll talk about some of those statements from Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi on abortion. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues Etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.
Historic liturgy, cool. Liturgical dance, not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning, cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with cup hole if you're a double mocha latte, not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
You are my soul. Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Dale Knack, Patty Hunter, Pete Lewers, Ed Marks, Bob and Mary Brazier, Jonathan Vanderhyde, Colin Dooling, Roy Pushel, Scott Baker, and George Adams. Thanks for your support.
What is it, Captain?
Whatever it is, it's incredibly advanced.
Hey iPhone users, you can now listen to Issues Etc. live on your iPhone. Find out by going to piratechristianradio.com and click the iPhone link on the homepage. You no longer have to sit by your PC, laptop, or home radio to listen to Issues Etc. live. piratechristianradio.com and look for the iPhone icon.
With something much, much more. And it's going to change everything.